There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., founder of Bob Jones University, was one of God's great warriors for the faith. Today's message by Dr. Jones is based on the Old Testament book of Proverbs.
My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice with understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Did you know all of the promises that God gives us in the Bible are conditioned? Come to me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. You have to come to him to be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. That's a conditional promise. Come to me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can get what you ask for. If you guard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. You have to come clean with clean hands to God. Now, all the promises of God and all the assurance of blessing from God are based upon some condition. They are wonderful statements, these. Let's just get them clearly. Let's concentrate for just a minute. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. Now, that's clear, isn't it? You have to receive my words. Did you know, if you don't believe the Bible is the word of God, just try it out. That's all. Just take it and see. See if it works. Every man that ever tried it out works. Very few people ever tried. If you wonder whether the promise of God will work, just try these promises. Now, somebody said to me one time, I don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I think Jesus was just a good man. Well, he's crazy. That's all. He is either God, or he wasn't a good man. He was either God or an imposter. He claimed to be God and even accepted human worship. But you know, I never argue about the deity of Christ. I never have any problem about that. Everybody I've ever met that ever turned himself over to Jesus Christ found out that Jesus Christ was God. Now, any of you folks who are listening to me today, if you want to find out whether he's God or not, just turn yourself over to him. You'll find out. He's all the God I ever wanted. Ever since I met him, I knew I'd met God. Nobody but God could do for me what he's done. Now, his promises are always conditional. Notice here, my son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now, that is, you prize the commandments so much you hide them. A thing that's very valuable, you don't just throw it around somewhere. Now, the commandments of God are so valuable that you hide them in your heart. You put them back there and say, I mustn't forget that, man. Here in this little alcove, I put this little place, this promise here now where I can keep it. Now, that's the first condition. So thou shalt incline thine ear unto wisdom. See? Now, that's necessary if you're going to get wisdom. And apply thine heart to understanding. You seek to understand. You seek the Lord with the whole heart, you'll find him. Now go on. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding. Now the man is really wants knowledge. He's eager to get it. He cries out. He's seeking God with his whole heart, crying out for knowledge. Now listen, he must mean business now. You can't pop a sham off on God. If thou seekest her as silver, oh my, if people seek God like they seek money, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then what's going to happen? Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now what is this thing about fearing the Lord? Well, now here's a man that looks up to this universe, and everybody knows that somebody made the stars, made this world. Everybody knows that. And all the heathen religions, men attempt to appease that God. They stand in horror of this great God on the throne. They're afraid of God. The lightning flashes and they tremble. Oh, the horror in the heart of man that doesn't know God, just doesn't know him. Now, he has a hysterical fear. But now, that's not the fear of a Christian. A Christian has a different type fear. It's a reverential fear. I come to God and look up at him and say, what a great God. He is my father. I'm his child. I have a holy reverence for him. You know, we are very superficial in this day and time. There's so much cheap religion in this country. I heard a man in a distant city some time ago lead one of the old hymns, one of the old-time hymns, the great depth of that hymn. And all through it, he joked him and joked him and joked him and joked him. Stopped him through it a lot of fun. And I just felt a little sick at my heart. I don't suppose I'd have felt that way when I was a young man. Great many young people have. All that hooping them up, wasn't anything wrong with getting them to sing, don't misunderstand me. But a lot of frivolity and folks that laugh between verses and carry on a lot of fun. And that deep, wonderful, profound, glorious old hymn. I think it was, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain." And I kept thinking, oh, my friend, how little reverence there is in the hearts of people. How little what we have reverential fear when we come to the presence of God. Now, there's no objection to a little fun and a little laughter and a little life. But if we don't watch out, we can crowd from our hearts that sense of reverence and fear, the fear that a Christian should have in the presence of God. Angels up in heaven hide their faces and cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Why, if you could see God today as God is, you'd fall on your face in his presence. Why, Paul, going down the Damascus Road, saw a light flash from heaven and looked up and saw Jesus. And he said, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And the light was so bright, Paul was blind. And it took him 3 days before the scale fell in his eye. Men and women, we have a great God, a wonderful God. We Christian people ought to have a sense of fear, and we will if we're the right kind of Christian, a reverential fear. And I said, if you want to know God, if that's what you want to know, and you say there must be a God somewhere, is there any way to know him? I want to know him. Now he said, if you approach it the right way, thou'll understand the fear of the Lord. It'll not be the fear of a heathen. It'll not be the awful horror that comes to the heart of man that thinks about meeting God when he's a sinner. You know, the two pictures in the Bible. You remember those pictures? Jesus comes again. And some people run out and beg mountains to fall on them and hills to hide them. But there's another crowd. As soon as he starts down from the sky, men look up and see him coming, leap up to meet him in the air. No fear that we may not be ashamed of him when he comes. Not ashamed of his presence when he comes. Now that's the difference. We even in eternity will marvel at God in his glory forever and forever. And we'll keep saying, "Everlasting, everlasting, thou art God." The wonder of wonders is that this God ever thought of us. And yet there's a sort of a boldness, a holy boldness, like a child has in the presence of his father. You know, here's maybe a present in the White House. The average little child saw the president, would hand him a flower with a sort of a sense of embarrassment. But you know, a child of the president or a child of the king climbs up in his father's lap. His father may be president, his father may be king, but he's his father. A little child, a child of God, said, "What a great God, what a great father, but he's my father still." Now that's all right, that's reverence, that's fear. But it's a holy sort of a reverence. It's not a hysterical fear that drives you into excitement and you're afraid to see God. When he comes, we want to be able to look into his eye, for we're going to see him someday. But now that's not all. He said, if you want to know, you can know. If you want to understand, you can understand, if you want to. That's what he's telling us. Way back in the Old Testament, the wise man is telling us how to understand. And he says, you can find something else. Thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, I'd like to preach a sermon on that sometime. Finding the knowledge of God. Now, everybody knows there's a God. I never argued with an atheist a minute in my life. Anybody, anywhere, anytime, with a grain of sense, knows there's a God. But knowing there's a God doesn't solve your problems. You can know there's a God and never solve a problem. You can look up in the stars and say there's a God up there. Now, I understand the mystery. It used to worry me when I was a little boy. I used to walk across the plowed ground as a little child, and my little brain was tormented with the idea, How can it be that God always has me and always will be? I using that over and over and over. He must have started somewhere. He must end sometime. And I say, how could it be he was there? Where did he stay when back there before we had a universe? Where is he anyhow? How could it be? Of course, that's a mystery. But it wouldn't be as great a mystery to me is that there's a universe here that nobody made. You talk about a man being intelligent. I think nothing wrong in the mystery of the thing, the mystery of the universe. Of course it's a mystery. But this ordinary common sense tells me there's something here, somebody made it. And that somebody must have been a big somebody. No ordinary somebody could have lighted that sun, made the moon. As I saw that moon last night, crimson and beautiful, and I watched that moon and kept looking at it, and it occurred to me that somebody sure must have made it. And somebody must be running this universe. No doubt in my mind about this universe being run by somebody. Why, only a fool would say anything else. Just crazy. Talk about a man being smart, he's just a fool. Just a great big old fool, that's all. You know somebody made. But that doesn't get you anywhere, just to know that. Now, you want to know the God that you know it is. That's the thing, see. Now, that's what he's talking about here. It doesn't say you'll know as a God, but you have a knowledge of that God. What kind of God is it, see? Now, you can have that knowledge. You can know what kind of God is. Did you know that God's made himself known about the kind of God he is? For instance, we know he's all-powerful. He told us so. And we ought to know that anyhow. He even hadn't told us, but he told us. He said he's all-wise, he's omnipotent, that's all-powerful. He's omniscient, that means he's all-wise. He's omnipresent, he's everywhere. Now, you know that's a lot to know about him. He's all-powerful, knows everything, he's everywhere. Now, that's about covers everything you need to know. All right, but he tells you more about himself. Now, he says that he's a just God, he's a holy God. Now, you can know all that if you want to. He says he doesn't look at sin with the least degree of allowance. In other words, God is not a tolerant God. Don't ever talk about God being tolerant. God's all merciful. God loves everybody. God wants to save everybody. But God's the most intolerant person in this universe. He makes no allowance for sin. Oh, he remembers our frame. He knows we are dust. He knows that. And he understands why we sin. He knows all that. But God never tolerated sin for a moment. God Almighty hates sin so much, he'd have let the whole world go to hell before he'd tolerate it. God hates sin. Holy, infinitely holy God on the throne of the universe. And I'm telling you, men and women, when you begin to think about it, it touches you very deeply. To think that I'm living in a universe where nobody can get away with wrongdoing. Nobody can sin and beat the game. It's a terrible, terrible thought. But that's the kind of God we have, intolerant of sin. He so loved the sinner that he sent his son to die, but he so hates the sin that the sinner commits, he'll let the sinner go to hell if he won't accept his son. We have a great God in this universe. And you can know this God. And you can know him so well, you can call him Father. And you can pray to him and talk to him and have fellowship with him. Wonder of wonders that God permits us to commune with him as we go along the road of life. Our Father, we thank thee for so great a Father, so great a God, one that hates sin and one that loves sinners and one that sent his Son to die on the cross to save us. Keep us faithful to him this day and may the peace of God come into our hearts and may we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
You have heard the founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., who, during his earthly ministry, was one of God's great warriors for the faith. Tune in tomorrow for another message sponsored by Bob Jones University.